All right, Rabbi Olson, I want to wrap up this unit, this discussion, and just to bring us back into the swing of things. Last time, on Thursday, we saw a very, very striking Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor maintains that the Malacha of Borer is fundamentally Malacha Shenitzrik Lagufa. Why is it a Malacha Shenitzrik Lagufa? Because within Rashi's definition of Malacha Shenitzrik Lagufa, what Borer does is basically it is an act of removal. You're getting rid of the bad stuff. It's a Maisa Sila, Pritzon Lo Barlo, and therefore, even though it's a Malacha Shenitzrik Lagufa, since this is the Malacha, this is the nature of this Malacha, despite the fact that it's a Malacha Shenitzrik Lagufa, and usually you'd be Pater, here you're going to be Chayv, and it's an exception to the rule because that is the nature of the Malacha. So according to the Baal HaMor, the definition of Malacha's Bora is getting rid of the Psolet. That is the definition of the Malacha. We saw the Yushalmi. Sorry, we saw the Ramban. And the Ramban seems to have a very different vision of Malacha's Bora. He says Malacha's Bora is part of this class of Malachos that's similar to Milo B'Shabbos, and it's similar to Gozes, taking a haircut, cutting your fingernails. And even though all of these have the quality of siluk, you're getting rid of the nails, you're getting rid of the hair, you're getting rid of the orla, that's not how we're viewing these malachos. Fundamentally, these malachos are tikkun haguf. And therefore, just like bris milah is a tikkun haguf, so too getting a haircut is a tikkun harosh, getting your fingernails cut is a tikkun hayadayim and raglayim, and malachas borer is a tikkun haochel. And therefore, the malacha is not seen as a maisa siluk, getting rid of, but it's actually a tikkun of the food, and that is a malacha hatzrich lagufa, for which you're going to be chayv. That was the shita of the Ramban. And I think that this Ramban is going to line up very nicely with a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is found in Maseches Shabbos, and a very ironic and striking Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes in the name of Rav Yudin, Yeshu borer tzoros kol ayom en mischayv, Yeshu notach yirogers umiyav mischayv. You can have a person who's doing borer all day long, and he's not going to be chayev. And you can have a person who does borer just a little bit, and he's going to be chayev. How is that possible? You're doing borer all day long, and you're not chayev. You do borer a little bit, and you are chayev. It seems very ironic. So the Yushami explains that in a case where hayayoshev al gabe kri, if you're sitting on a giant pile, imagine you have this huge, huge vat of Willy Wonka's melted chocolate. This huge vat of chocolate. But inside that huge vat of chocolate, there is an enormous amount of elephant feces. Enormous. Enormous. So you could be spending the entire day going ahead and removing the waste. And says the Yushalmi, you could be sitting al gabe kri ubore tzoros kol hayom enu nischayv. However, if you take a small amount of this, let's say wheat, this grain, you take a small amount, and now you do bore a little bit, you will be chayv. So what's the rationale for the Yushalmi? Why, if you're sitting al gabe kri and you borrow all day long, you're going to be potter, but if you take a small amount in your hand, you're going to be chayv. Yes, Nate? So, correct. According to Yushalmi, what is the definition of Malachas Borer? What? Tikkun ha'ochel. You have to have cleansed the food. But if the food is still mired in schmutz, even though you did bora all day long, you haven't cleansed the food, and therefore you're going to be put. But if you take a small amount in your hands, and now you get rid of the schmutz that's in that small amount, you have cleansed the food, and therefore you're going to be chai. So this Yushalmi, l'chora, is going to be very much on all fours, consistent with the vision of the Ramban, is that the Isser Malacha of Malachas Borer is Tikkun Ha'ocha. It's a very, very famous Taz. Taz is found in Siman Shin Yutes and Shulchan Aruch and addresses the following question. Let's say you have a fly in your soup. Fly fell in the soup, fly fell in your drink, and you want to get rid of the fly. So are you allowed to remove the fly from your beverage? So there is the Taz says this is what you have to do. If you want to remove the fly from your beverage, what you have to do is you take a spoon and you'll take some of the beverage with the fly. And if you take some of the beverage with the fly, then it's permissible. What is the rationale for the kula of the tas? Yes? Why does the Taz say it's allowed? What? What? And therefore what? Have you separated Psoles from Ochel, or is the Psoles still sitting in Ochel? It's still sitting in Ochel. You haven't removed Psoles from Ochel because you took out soup with it. It's still in Ochel. That's what the Taz says. My question is, would the Yerushalmi agree? What would the Yerushalmi say? According to the Yerushalmi, would this be mutar aser? It would be aser. Correct. Why? Because have you fixed the bowl of soup? You fixed the bowl of soup. Good. You haven't separated psoles from ochel, but you fixed the bowl of soup, and that's a tikkun ochel. That is the malacha of boreh. So that's the Yerushalmi. That's this against the Taz, and I think that is consistent with the view of the Ramban. I put on a minchas chinuch. The minchas chinuch addresses the following shaila. Rabosai, what is the shear of maleches boreh? How much do you have to be boreh to be chayv? What? A grogeris. A fig's worth is what you have to be borer in order to be chayv. You should ask a question though. Yes? A fig's worth of what? Is it that you are taking a fig's worth of psoles away? Or you don't have to take a fig's worth of psoles. What do you have to do? You have to metaken a grogeris worth of food. Which means if I have one bug in my chulent and I take out the bug, I haven't been borer a grogeris, but I have fixed more than a grogeris of food, and therefore I'll be chayv. Now both say, which one's the Yerushalmi are going to say for sure? What is the chefza of maleches boreh? The cholent. So when it's a grogeris, it's a grogeris of what? Of the remaining ochel. But if you learn like, for example, the Taz, or the balamor, what is the object of maleches boreh? Is the psoles. And therefore, a grogeris would have to be the grogeris of psoles. This is the subject of the Minchas Chinuch. Take a look. The Minchas Chinuch writes that what? If you're the shear is a grogeris, lo nisparashon, im dai sheis ben hakol ha'ochel ha'psoles kigrogeris, o eshe shetzok shiyishar, acha ha'utzoas ha'psoles kigrogeris. And that would be consistent with the Yerushalmi. Okay. That finishes our discussion of Thursday. And now I want to move on and really highlight what I think is a continuation of that discussion. And that is the famous, fascinating Yerushalmi, another Yerushalmi, and Rav Akiva Eiger. Let's take a look at the Yerushalmi and Rav Akiva Eiger. The Yerushalmi has a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Yerushalmi says it's not found in the Bavli. You look high and low in the Bavli, you'll not find this halach. Rokak, if you spit, the hifrichoso haruach, and the wind comes along and scatters the spit. So the Yerushalmi says, you're chayev mishum zore. As an aside, as I look at my Mishnah Brura, if you look at Simen Shin Yotes, which is Hilchos Borer, and you take a look at the end, all the way at the end, the last halacha, which I gave you on your sheet, is the Ramah. This is source number 4. And the Rambam quotes this halacha, Harokek beruach b'shabbos, v'haruach mifazer harok, yechayev mishum zoreh. And this is b'shem the orzarua and the yusham. Okay? So the Gemara, so that's the yusham. Now Rabbi Akiva Eiger came along, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger was walking to shul one Shabbos. He describes in a very, very conversational tshuva. I was walking to shul, and in the town of Lisa. Lisa is a town in Presburg, I believe, which is now modern-day Belarus. And that's where the Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived. Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived when exactly, approximately? Give me an approximation. What? 1840? No, earlier than that. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was around the time that George Washington was signing the Declaration of Independence. Late 18th century. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a very, very famous son-in-law. The Chassam Sofer's second wife was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's daughter. Okay? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger was walking to shul, and he saw, as he's walking to shul, some guy was up on the second floor, had a cup of water, and basically spilled a cup of water outside, out the window. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought, saw him do this. And what's the first thing that jumped into Rabbi Akiva Eiger's head? The Yerushalmi, Shabbos, Perek Zion. And he asked himself, this guy's spilling water out the window. It's a windy day. The wind is scattering the water. I wonder if this is an Isser Doraisa of Zoreh B'Shabbos. That's what he wondered to himself. What else do you think about when you walk into shul? That's what he's thinking about. And as he's thinking, he's going, well, let me do Chazara. The Rosh, the Rambam, the Rif, the Tur, the Smag and the Smak, none of them quote this Yerushalmi. And in fact, I think the Bavli is mefurish against the Yerushalmi. I have a raya that the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi. What was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's raya that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are not on the same page? That the Bavli would not subscribe to this halacha of throwing water into the wind or spitting and the wind scatters it. No way. No way. That's not us. Ethan. Loud and with enthusiasm and energy. Like you care deeply. No. Don't give me Erev Pesach. Don't give me Erev Pesach. I don't need Erev Pesach. Okay, give me Svara.
When you have to throw the bread into the air instead of burning the
chametz. Stop. You told me Erev Pesach. What are you talking about chametz for? A Bavli. You give me a Balamor. I don't want a Balamor. I want a Bavli. Yeah. How do you know that? How do you know that? Where do you see that? Which Bavli tells you that? Ah. When the Bavli said, Hainu Zore, Hainu Bore, Hainu Marake. What is the Bavli announcing? That these are all essentially the same type of malacha. That entails separating ochel from psoles. When you're separating ochel from psoles, so that's boreh, that's zoreh. But when you're spitting into the wind, when you're throwing water into the wind, do you have two species, two minim, an ochel and a psoles? No. So what emerges, according to the Yerushalmi, what's the definition of Zoreh? How would you define, what one word would you define as Melech Hazara? Yes. What? Chalakim. You talk English. Parts is not a malacha. That's a noun. I need a verb.
Separation.
What? Spreading. Okay, spreading is better. The word I would rather you use is scattering with the wind. Scatter. That's the word I feel is the best word to use. You're scattered.
Dispersing.
Good. Dispersing, scattering in the wind. According, that's Yushan. And therefore, spitting the water, etc. That's Zore. According to the Bavli, what is Zore? Borer with wind. Yafet. Borer with wind. Separating Ocha from Solas via wind. Now, here is the shear right now. Right now is the shear. What forced the Yushalmi to not learn like the Bavli? Why could the Yushalmi not say that Zoreh is part of the Borer family? Why do Yishami say, no, I can't learn that way? And guess what? You will not find any Yerushalmi that says, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Maraka. You'll not find it. It does not exist. Why will you not find that in the Yerushalmi? Yeah, Gekovich.
Because you're not deriving any benefit.
No, not what I'm looking for. Come. Mayor. Nate. What is the Yushalmi's Shita on Borer? Yeah, Benji.
Well, I would say the difference between Zoreh and Borer, according to the Yushalmi is saying that you're taking something from each other, but with Zoreh, you're putting something together. You're putting what you're...
No. Not Zoreh. 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 Yeah, okay, yeah, Mayor? You want me to ask again? My question is, what is driving the Yushalmi not to learn like the Bavli? Why is the Yushalmi saying Zoreh is scattering, not separating? And I'm telling you, it can't be separated. It can't be Borer-like. According to Yushalmi, yes.
According to the Yushalmi, Borer has to be completing something. And when you're doing Zoreh, you're spitting into the wind and not getting anything completed.
You were so close, Mayor. So close. So like 70%, and then you didn't bring it home. So close. Yeah!
Yushalmi knows that Borer is actually separating wood from the soul.
The Yushalmi says Borer requires what? Give me the words that we use. Tikun ha? Tikun ha ocha. That's what Borer is. Rabosai. Tell me about Zoreh, Borer, Merake. Yes. Does Zoreh accomplish Tikun ha ocha? Where are you at after the Bavli Zoreh? What do you have left? You send it to the wind. The wind got rid of what? The schmutz. It fell to the ground. What's the next step? What's the next step after Zoreh? Borer. Why? Because what do you have left now? You have the pebbles. You have the grains mixed with pebbles. You have tzroros. In other words, Zoreh does not achieve real tikkun. It's still fashmutzed. You got rid of the light chaff, but the Gemara tells us you still have to do Zora Bar Meraki, still have to do, get rid of the tzoros. You still have to get rid of the pebbles. It's not complete. And therefore, if the Yushami's position is that Borer, Zora, this class of Malachos demands Tikkun HaOchel, and that's why if you're sitting on a Kri and you're doing Borer all day long, you're not going to be Chayav because there's no Tikkun. Well, guess what? The Bavli Zora, is there a real full Tikkun there? No, it's a stage of separation, but there's no Tikkun HaOchel. You got rid of some psoles, but there's still more psoles there. And therefore, this is the Yushami Lishitase. The same Yushami that says Tikkun HaOchel is Borer, is going to be, have to be the Yushami that says Zora cannot be winnowing, separating psoles from Ochel, because if it was, you wouldn't be Chayev, because it's incomplete. You still have Schmutz in there. That's why you need Borer afterwards. That's why the Yushami says Zora is a totally different concept, is a totally different thing. What is Zora? It's scattering in the wind. I still have blank looks. Did this come across clearly or not? Do I need to do it again? Who said yes? Raise your hand. I'll say it again. No. Just because I'm going to lose the flow. They can't hear you. I can hear you. And but afterwards, no problem. Rabosai. The Bavli holds, like what I'm saying is the Balamor, is that Borer is getting rid of the psoles, separating psoles from Ochel. But even if you don't have a tikkun, you haven't fully done it, you've just separated some, you're still chai. What's the proof of that? Zore Bora Merake. These are separate malachos. Zora does stage one, Borer stage two, Meraket stage three. You don't have a real tikkun until stage three. Zora is not a tikkun ha'ochel, it's a partial. Yet you're still chayim. Why? Because, says the Bavli, it's a meaningful stage in the process. You've gotten rid of some of the psoles. According to Yushami, getting rid of some of psoles is not Borer, is not Zora, is not any of that. Getting rid of some is not the malach. How do I know that? Because you can be sitting on a pile of a lot of wheat and you get it, doing it all day long and you're still potter. Why? Because you haven't achieved that full tikkun. Comes along the what? The Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that's why Zoreh is not part of the Borer family. There's no Yerushalmi that says Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakeh. Zoreh is fundamentally different. What is Zoreh? Zoreh is scattering with the wind, even if it's only one min, even if it's water and spit. Says Rabbi Kveger, you know why the Rambam, the Rosh, the Smak, the Rif, and the Tur, none of them bring down the Yushalmi? Because it's a Machlokas Bavli and Yushalmi. Guess how we pass Machlokas Bavli and Yushalmi? We pass like the Bavli, and that's why this guy is throwing the water out the window. He concludes, it's not us. It's not us, sir, because we don't paskin like this Yushalmi. But these two Yerushalmis are totally lishitasi. And then this is what Ethan wanted to say. The Rabbi Kineger brings another proof. What's his other proof? He cites to a Baal Hamaor. And if you look at your sheets, the Baal Hamaor is found, source number 5, I'll say it outside, but the Baal Hamaor has the following halach. He says, if Ereb Pesach falls out on Shabbos, Yud Daled Nisan falls out on Shabbos. So what do you, when does the Isra of Achilas Chametz begin? 4 hours into the day. 4 hours into the day. So for breakfast, and this happens every 7, 8, 9 years. This happens. So for breakfast, you're going to have pita. Lechem Mishni. You can't have matzah. The minhag is not that matzah on Erev Pesach. So you're going to have pita. And now you're going to be left with crumbs of pita. What do you do with the crumbs? You can't burn it because it's Shabbos. So you know what the Baal Hamaor says you could do? Throw it to the wind. Throw it to the wind. And the Magen Avraham, source 5a, says, Avalizaros la ruach, to throw it into the wind, efshar dahave melacha deoraisa. If you did that, it might be a melacha deoraisa, as we learn in the Ramah Simin Shin Yutes. Why did the Baal HaMoor say no problem? Because the Baal HaMoor is following his own. It's the Baal HaMoor Lashitase, who says, what is Melecha Zora Bora Merake? Like the Babli, it's what? It's getting rid of Psoas. But if you just have Chometz, you just have bread, it's only one item, you throw it to the wind and it gets scattered. That's not Melecha Zora. That's not a problem. Comes along the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham says, yeah, but if you're a Yerushalmi Jew who subscribes to the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, who brings down this Yerushalmi, so then maybe it should be also to scatter the bread, and better off flushing it in the toilet than scatter the bread in the wind. Questions? Yeah. What are you doing? Where's the Zoraya? You're putting water. You're assuming that it's going onto dirt and it's watering something.
Yes.
I once threw out that line. I understand what you're saying. There is a Aruch HaShulchan who has a different girsa in this Yerushalmi. He doesn't say Chai Mishum Zoreh, he says Chai Mishum Zorek. Zorek. Where you are throwing. What's the answer throwing? You're not allowed to throw something arba amos in a reshus ha-rab. We'll discuss that briefly tomorrow because I'm running out of time now. Rabosa. Rabbi Kinegar brings one more proof. I'm going to do the proof now, and then there's one last little shtickle we have to add for tomorrow, which is the Mishnah Brura, the Bialacha, and then this sugya will be finished. Take a look at the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Okay, it's on your sheet. Very important Gemara in Bava Kamma. We will see this Gemara over the course of this year about five or six times. The Gemara in Bava Kamma deals with the mazik of Eish. Eish is one of the mazikim. Avos nazikim. Now, if I light a fire and that fire spreads and it does damage, I'm chayiv for Eish. So I light a fire, and the Gemara says, I start fanning the fire. So it traps, does damage, I'm chayiv. But let's say I fan the fire, but it's not really moving, and then a wind comes along and gives it a nice push and causes it to do damage. So in such a case, the Gemara has the following question. Let's say there was no wind. If there was no wind, would it get to my neighbor's backyard? Yes or no? If it would not get to my neighbor's backyard, then who's the real mazik? The wind is, I'm putter. But if it would get there anyway, even without the wind, it might take longer, but it's going to get there, then it's on me. So if it's the wind, I'm potter. If it's me, I'm chai. Asks the Gemara Bava Kamma an amazing question. Rabosai, if I use the wind, is there any source in Shas that when I use the wind is me? So, what about Zora? When it comes to Zora on Shabbos, the wind is not stam wind, it's me. It's attributed back to me. And therefore, I am responsible for the malacha, so to speak, that is done by the wind. What? I purposely threw it into the wind. And here, Aish, I'm using the wind. I'm using the wind. I am using the wind to send this fire to my neighbor's backyard. I know the wind is coming. I know there's a wind, easterly wind. I'm using it. So what's the difference? So the Bavli gives a couple of answers. Some are not so important for us. One answer is, you're right. If it was a ruach mitsuya, a regular wind, then yes, that's something I'm responsible for. If it's a unexpected wind, then I'm not responsible for that. That's one answer. But the answer I'm most concerned with is as follows. Says the Bavli, when it comes to Shabbos, do we care about who's doing the malacha? We don't care about who's doing the malacha. When it comes to Shabbos, meleches machsheves asra Torah. It doesn't matter whether I did the malacha or I set a process in motion by which the malacha got done. There's no difference between the two. If I set a process in motion through which the malacha got done, even if I didn't do it, I'm chai. That's true when it comes to Shabbos. When it comes to Nezikin, in order for me to be chai for Nezikin, what do I have to do? I have to do the action. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. If I set a process in motion, then that's called. In other words, listen to this proof. It's very subtle. It's very sharp. Zoreh is borer by wind. That's what Zoreh is. Zoreh is borer by wind. So, says the Bavli, I can do borer in one of two ways. I can either do it with my hands, or I can set a process in motion and do it with wind. And those are the same. Whether I do it by hand, or I set a process in motion, those are both malachas. What is Zoreh? Borer by wind. Is that true according to Yerushalmi?
No.
According to Yerushalmi, what is Zoreh? Scatter. Is that borer by wind? No. The Bavli is premised on this concept that I could do it by hand, but if I do it via something else, I set a process in motion, that's me! And comes along the Bavli and says, yeah, that's true by Shabbos, but that's not necessarily going to be true when it comes to Nezikin. Nezikin has to be me. So with all of this background, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, as he's walking home, this is all just a stroll to shul on a Shabbos morning at 7:30 in the morning. He says, at the end of the day, the guy spilling out the water out of his rooftop, is the overness of Zoreh yes or no? So according to Yerushalmi, yes. According to Bavli, no. Why? Because Yerushalmi holds, is Zoreh part of the Borer family? No. Why not? Because Borer means Tikkun HaOchel. Zoreh, by definition, according to Bavli, is not Tikkun HaOchel. There's stages to go. And if Zoreh has to be something else, says Yerushalmi, and according to Bavli, no, Zoreh is just Borer al Yidei HaRuach. it doesn't require tikkun ochas, is getting rid of psoles or a stage of the psoles, and that is what it's all about. So what we've done today is we got a good grip on meleches zor. What's left? What's left? I have a question for you. I'll leave you with the final question, and we'll finish this up. Again, I got about 10 minutes left for tomorrow, and then we begin a new topic. Can you use aerosol deodorant on Shabbos? L'chora, this will be totally in the machlokes bav and Yerushalmi. According to Yerushalmi, what do you do when you press the button? You're scattering the spritz. And that might be an issur of Zora. According to the Bavli, doesn't matter, spit is not ochel either. According to the Bavli, however, Zora demands what? Ochel psoles. It's not scattering, it's separating a vocal and a psoles, and that you don't have when it comes to an aerosol deodorant. La halacha, we pass in like the Bavli, over Yishami l'chora, but that's an interesting nafkamina that might play out. We'll stop here. Feel free to ask any questions you might have. You're welcome.